Good morning. Happy New Year. My name's Sam Parker. I'm one of the elders here at the church, filling in for Pastor Mike while he and his family are away. One quick thing before we read the passage, we'll be in Matthew 3, continuing our study in Matthew. Just wanted to highlight what Bert mentioned in announcements about the mission trip that's coming up in March. There's 12 individuals from the church here. I'm one of them that are planning to go to Switzerland to minister to Scott and Monty Langemeyer. And we are next Sunday, I believe, are planning a potluck meal that is a free will donation to help fund that trip. And so you are invited to help support that ministry. We'll do that next Sunday. I'm not sure what's on the menu, but I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure Heather knows, but well, you can ask her yourself. So you're welcome to join us next week for that, and we'd appreciate your prayers and financial support. Let's read Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 13 through 17. This is after John began baptizing. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Let's pray. Father, as we read and study and as I preach your word this morning, I ask that you would be with us, that you would help me to be clear, that your word would penetrate our hearts. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. This is your word, and this is an ordinary passage that we don't need to ignore. We must listen to this. We must be changed by your word, and all your word is good. Help us in this, God. Help me be honored in this passage, and help us see why Christ came and the significance of his baptism and what it means for us, what it says about him. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As I mentioned, we're continuing in Matthew, and this is the second look at John's baptism. Pastor Mike preached last week, verses 1 through 12, which set the stage showing why John came, and now Jesus is stepping in to be baptized by John. John is the one who is preaching the kingdom of heaven has come close, it's come near. Repent, turn from your sin. People were coming to John and they were being baptized, and they were waiting for, looking for, longing for the kingdom. They were falling out of their complacency. And Jesus now steps into that, and he says to John that by doing that, he's going to fulfill all righteousness. That's in verse 15. So we're going to look at that a lot today. Much fulfillment has already happened. That has connotations to prophecy and things said before happening now. And we've seen in Matthew that that's happened a lot, many times. Thus it was fulfilled by the prophet. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. Thus, as it was said by the prophet, he will come from Bethlehem. He will come from Egypt. He will be a Nazarene. Matthew keeps hearkening back to what was said of this Messiah from a long ago, and Jesus now, and then now John comes also fulfilling Isaiah 40. He's preparing the way for the Lord. And he does that by calling people to repentance, and here steps in Jesus fulfilling what he says is all righteousness. And John was very clear in his in the passage before that he's not the Messiah. He keeps pointing people ahead to the one who is going to baptize with the Spirit and fire. That's in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. So it's in that context. Here steps Jesus. And we actually see in this passage the first words of Jesus. Two chapters have gone by. And now we hear Jesus, or we read Jesus speaking. And there's a couple challenges for us that we need to not distract, let us be distracted by. The first is the ordinariness that this baptism is to us. We've read of this. Yes, Jesus was baptized. That's very good. We don't really know what it means for us, but we just know that it happened. And so it becomes very ordinary, and this is not ordinary. And then the other challenge is the many errors and the many thoughts that people have and conclusions, false conclusions that people have come to from the questions. Why was Jesus baptized? John's preaching a baptism of repentance. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? And the answers to those questions have been an error, and we don't want to do that today. In fact, many of you are probably questioning, you know, was Jesus sinful? Is he repenting of something? John was preaching a baptism of repentance. As we study this passage, my hope is that we see that Jesus' baptism by John fulfilled all righteousness, and it's not about Jesus' repentance at all. Jesus' baptism was an act of humility and submission to the Father's will. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness by submitting himself to the will of the Father. The desires and the wants, the wishes of the Father, Jesus submitted himself to and aligned himself perfectly with what God wanted. And that is what I hope we see today. Jesus accomplished all righteousness. He fulfilled all righteousness by submitting to be baptized. And then there's several points, tons of implication for us. It shows that by doing this, that baptism of Jesus, it shows his identity with his prophet, with John. He's identifying with humanity as he does this. He's identifying with us, you and me. He's identifying with his Father, most of all, in this passage as well. And in through it all, he is identified by humility. Humility of the Son to the Father is throughout this passage. So let's dive in and look at those four points. And by God's grace, there will be some application for us. So first of all, Jesus is identified with his prophet. You know, and that's it's a crucial issue in this passage for John, that Jesus is wanting to be baptized by John. He's in essence saying, wait, you shouldn't identify with me, Jesus. There's something about you that is much greater than I am. I should be baptized by you. John is not even worthy to carry Jesus' sandals. He says that in Matthew 3:11. Jesus is much greater. And John sees that. He is, as verse 17 says, the Son of God. In fact, John needed Jesus. I need to be baptized by you. And I think he's referring to that spirit baptism that he's calling that the Messiah is going to proclaim. I need your baptism, Jesus. You do not need to submit to my baptism. However, Jesus, in humility, identified with John's baptism. And what he did in that was he showed that John is God's prophet. John's baptism was a preparatory and a real way of making people ready for the kingdom of heaven. What he was calling the people to was the kingdom of God. John was pointing people to God, and Jesus' submission to that affirms that's God's prophet. That's my prophet, my forerunner. And there's a couple things in this for us. John is only a prophet. He's only of any value based upon the message that he's proclaiming. It is the message that is validating the messenger. The kingdom of heaven that John's proclaiming, that is true. If John were to be outside of that or saying or preaching another kingdom, he would be false. But he's proclaiming the same kingdom, the kingdom of God, the one that Jesus is king of. And Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 21. You can read it later, 21 verses 31 through 32. Jesus says of John, John came in the way of righteousness. He came in the way of righteousness because he represented the message of righteousness. He was pointing people to this Messiah. And we're going to see a little later that John's desire or desire to prevent Jesus, that should stand out to you, right? John is trying to prevent Jesus from being baptized. John's desire to prevent Jesus is based on a misunderstanding. He did not fully know how Jesus would fulfill all righteousness, how he would accomplish his great work. John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. I think we can see that from this context, also from John 1, when John sees Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Who takes away the sins of the world? But John did not fully know how, and Jesus is stepping in to teach him and to teach us. How is he going to fulfill all righteousness? Secondly, Jesus is identified with humanity. He's identifying with his prophet. This is my prophet, not another prophet. He's identifying, secondly, with humanity, which gets back to the question, why does Jesus need to be baptized in the first place? And I think John is pointing to that as well. I need to be baptized by you. You are far greater than I. You do not need to repent of anything. That baptism was a baptism of repentance and longing and yearning for the kingdom of God. It was a baptism of waking people up from complacency. They were seeing that they had lived for themselves, but they weren't living for the kingdom of God. And now their eyes were opened. They saw that the kingdom of heaven was near, as John proclaimed, and they were repenting and looking and waiting for the kingdom of God. And Jesus had no complacency in his body and no sin in his body. The passage, though it talks about Jesus' baptism, makes no hint of reference to Jesus ever needing baptism because of some sort of sin that he had committed. He needed to repent of nothing. It was something far greater, as I mentioned. This baptism that Jesus was stepping into was to fulfill all righteousness. And he did that. He stepped into his identity with humanity as an example. That is what the baptism was for. He showed that in doing so, he identified with his brothers and his sisters, humans who were made in God's image. He identified with them, with those who were ready for the kingdom. And he was inherently ready as the Son, which God affirms in verse 17. He steps down in perfect humility before the Father. He surrendered his perfect self, his perfection, to the waters of baptism and to the Father. And in doing so, he identified himself with us. I think an example of this might be failure to do that. It'd be like a presidential candidate that can't prove his or her nationality. You know, some of the crazy stories that come out during presidential campaigns. You gotta be a U.S. citizen to run for president. and this guy's not, and this guy, and this gal's not. They're, you know, all some hoaxes come out, right? Jesus is fully man, submitting himself to the baptism, just like everybody else, so that he may be the firstborn of many brothers. He identified with humanity. Third point. He identified with his prophet by submitting to John's baptism. It is fitting for us, he says, for us to fulfill all righteousness. He identified with his people by going through the same baptism, by saying, just like the people that were waiting for the kingdom of God, he said, I'm here for the kingdom of God as well. I'm in alignment with that by submitting to baptism. And third, he is identifying with the Father. And this is the greatest point. He's identified with the Father by his baptism. There is nothing more righteous. If Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, there is nothing more righteous than the desires and the ways of God. Doing what God loves, loving what God loves. And Jesus was unified with the desires, with the will of God by being baptized. And we know that he aligned with his Father's will from verse 17. This is my son. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Right? Verse 17. More so than that, the idea of fulfillment and righteousness is brought together in what Jesus is doing. So think about it this way. Before, we've got long ago prophets prophesying, this is going to happen. This is what the Messiah is going to do. And Matthew coming now sometime at some point 500 years later saying, this is being fulfilled. This is being fulfilled. Jesus says, I am doing this to fulfill all righteousness. And as he does it, so he submits to be baptized. He submits to the waters of baptism, John's baptism. And as he steps out, the heavens are opened. Clear Old Testament references. You can find them in Ezekiel and in Isaiah. And God speaks audibly. This is my beloved son. I am pleased with this son. My son. So before we had foretelling and fulfillment. Old Testament. Foretelling and fulfillment. In this act, we have submission, confirmation. This is my son. Jesus obeys. God says, I'm pleased with this. Never done before. Heaven has come close. Jesus submits, and God says, this is very good. Jesus obeys to the Father, his Father's will. God says, I'm pleased with this. This is my son. We also see the Trinity at work in this. We see Jesus being baptized and identified as the Son. And I think there's two implications. One is his Davidic, messianic, kingly reign. Psalm 2, verses 7. You are my son, it says. Today I have begotten you. The Lord said to me. This is David writing. And there's also references in 2 Samuel 7, Psalm 89. This is the son who will be of an everlasting, he will lead open an everlasting kingdom. The kingdom will never end. So there's the messianic, Davidic, I'm in the line of David, which Matthew was all about, right? From David to Jesus, Jesus is in the line of David. That's Matthew 1. He spends a whole chunk of the first chapter showing us this is David's son. He really is the king. So I think there's that element. But Matthew also, I believe, and I think we'll see that from chapter 4 with some of the questions that Satan asks Jesus, and also from before where Jesus comes from virgin birth, that Jesus is way more than just David's son. He is divine. He is God. So Jesus is the Son, baptized. The Spirit falls upon Jesus. So we see the Spirit of God descend like a dove, which fulfills, again, Trinitarian, showing us that God is three in one, Father, Son, Spirit, all one. But we also see, not only that, we see a messianic fulfillment in the Spirit descending, and we'll get to that in just a minute. And then finally, we see the Father who is pleased. This is my Son speaking from heaven. This doesn't happen every day. This was an amazing, momentous act. Heaven had come down to earth. Jesus was inherently pleasing to God in this act. He submitted himself to the Father's will, and in doing so, God proclaimed, "This is my Son." We get to see a taste of that. Then the fourth point, Jesus is identified by humility. And I've mentioned this several times, but humility is throughout this passage, and the humility of the Son to submit to the Father's will is the point Jesus is making in why he is going to be baptized, and the result is glorious. Jesus humbles himself to a man, John. John is a man. John knows he's not worthy, but Jesus humbles himself, submits to this baptism, and in doing so, he says, "This is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." John knows he's not worthy, but Jesus says, I've come to fulfill all righteousness. And in doing, and his act of fulfilling righteousness is an act of humility. He submits to be baptized by a man who is not worthy to stand in the presence of God, of the Son of God. He's identifying also as the suffering servant in this passage. When the Spirit descends on Jesus, it has so many close connections to Isaiah. Isaiah 42, the suffering servant, I think we have it on the screen. "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I have put my Spirit on him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." That is the same servant who is pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. His punishment, the punishment was placed on him. It's brought us peace. And it's the one whose stripes heal us. Jesus shows in this passage that his humility is the reason that he came. He came to suffer and die. And this is really, though we see it much more in fulfillment later on, we just see a foretaste. This is an amazing passage because we are very early on. Jesus' first words spoken in this gospel, and we see the reason Jesus came in this very passage. John thought you came to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. He's coming with judgment. He's coming as a king. I am not worthy to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus says, wait. I am that. He doesn't deny who he is to John, but he says, "Let it be so, so that it may fulfill all righteousness." The fulfillment of all righteousness is found in the humility of the Son of God. He humbled himself. He submitted to be baptized. He humbled himself to a man. He identified with humanity. He humbled himself before the Father. And what happens when he does this? He's glorified. "This is my beloved Son, It has a really good ending. Jesus' humility shows that he is who he says he is. This is my beloved son. He humbles himself and he is exalted. God says, I am pleased with this son. I am pleased with my son. That's awesome. Jesus came as the servant. John says, I need to serve you. Jesus says, actually, in order to fulfill all righteousness, I'm going to submit myself to the Father. And in doing that, I will humble myself. I will serve. I will go to the cross. I will be pierced for your transgressions. I will be crushed for your iniquities. The blood that should be on you, the blood of your sin, the sin that you have done and committed before God, the sin that is worthy of your death, I'm actually going to take that on. I'm going to be the humble one who is going to serve. We see in this passage not a sinful Savior who has to be baptized. We see a humble Savior who submits himself to the will of God. And in doing so is revealed right there, right before those people and right for us to read in this book. God confirming, this is my son. Let's apply this. So if Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God, and he's the Son of God revealed through humility, I think that's what we can see in this passage. God was pleased with Jesus. Jesus was inherently worthy, and Jesus would have been out of line to step out of the way and refuse John's baptism. It was the humility of the Son to submit to this baptism, and in doing so, expose the glory of God. He entered into that baptism, and he steps out, and God confirms, this is my Son. This is my Son, the one who is the King, the one who is the King who has come as the suffering servant to die. How is this good news? How is it good news that the Son of God is revealed through humility and not by an iron fist wiping out the nations as he will one day do? It's good news for us because God is only going to be pleased with you because of his son who humbled himself and submitted to baptism and ministered his way to the cross. The humility of Jesus is so good for us. The humility of Christ means that you have a Savior. He humbled himself and he died for you. If God is pleased with you, he's pleased with you because of his son who came to die for you. Jesus is our great example also. So we are called to humble ourselves in the humility of Christ. He is the one, the forerunner, the one who made the way. And the call of the gospel is to surrender. You're a sinner. You're in need. You're not going to make it on your own. If you're living for yourself, you're going to die. Jesus humbly stepped down and he died for you. He died in your place. The call of the gospel is to stop trusting in yourself and to humble yourself and give your life to Christ. We humble ourselves by trusting in this Christ. Did he really pay it all? Did he really pay all my sin? Do I really owe all of my life to him? He did it all. And he did it not as that conquering king, but he came as a humble servant. And then for us who are in Christ, I call you to rest in Christ. Rest in Jesus' authority. Rest in what he accomplished. 1 Peter 5 says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. How do you do it? By casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Humble yourself before God by casting your anxieties, all your worries, all your needs on him. In this passage, there is a prophet who is not worthy. And he says to Jesus, that's John, I'm not worthy. You should baptize me. There's no way that I should be of any use to you. All I need is to be baptized by you. But Jesus tells John, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It's a plural. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did, through John, something extremely wonderful. He fulfilled all righteousness. He did what was pleasing in the sight of God. He submitted to God's will. John compared himself to Christ and he said, no way. I cannot be used by you. I should be under you. But it was God. He did not realize and he misplaced in the moment that it's Jesus. If Jesus calls him to do this, he will accomplish the work. John and us need to rest in Christ. God uses broken vessels in his work. We must rest in him. So step into a new year. Is God calling you to follow him right now? To surrender your life to Christ and you say, I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. The gospel says you're not good enough. Rest in Christ. Submit to Christ. Or are you being called to lead in your family? And you say, I'm too sinful. I'm too messed up. You're not worthy. Rest in Christ. Christ is the one who finishes the work. Christ is the one who already humbled himself and went to the cross for you. Christ is the one who fulfills and accomplishes it all. Is God calling me to share what Jesus has done in my life? And the thought is, I'm not good at that. I've been a hypocrite to that person. Rest in Christ. Rest in the already completed, humble work of Christ. He'll give you what you need to accomplish that work. Let's do that. Let's do that as we step into 2022. Let us humble ourselves before Christ. Let us rest in Christ because he is the one who humbly came to serve. He has accomplished the work in his body on the tree. Let's pray. Father God, we are in need of you. Help us to draw near. Help us to remember what Jesus accomplished. Help us worship at the humility of Christ, knowing that he did not account equality with God something to use to his own advantage, but he humbled himself and became a servant and died for you and me. Thank you so much, God, for that work. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have a Savior who served, a Savior who died for us, for our sins. We have a great Savior. Help us, God. May the gospel be fresh in our eyes and in our hearts as we go out into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.